This is Thursday, May 8, 2025. We are in Natick, Massachusetts, and this tape is part of the Morse Institute Library's continuing Veterans Oral History Project. My name is Maureen Sullivan, and we are privileged to have with us today Arthur Parker. Welcome, Arthur.
Thank you.
May I ask when you were born?
November 11th, 1952. My mother always reminded me how she had to leave the parade to go to the hospital.
Of course, that being, well, was it still Armistice Day or Veterans Day?
It was Veterans Day.
Okay. And where were you born?
At Leonard Morse here in Natick.
And what community do you currently live in?
East Hartford, Connecticut.
Your marital status?
I am married.
Do you have children?
I have three.
Grandchildren?
Six.
Okay. So let's talk about Natick, life in Natick growing up.
A lot different than it is now. It had a very small town feel to it. Felt safe, felt comfortable. But as time goes on, obviously it has changed a lot, and we now appear to be part of Boston.
And I understand growing up you moved quite frequently.
Seven different addresses before I went in the Navy.
You went to Natick Public Schools.
Went to Lincoln, Coolidge, Natick High.
Better now known as the Community Senior Center, Coolidge Gardens, and the new Natick High.
Yes.
And what year did you graduate?
1971.
Now, did you join the military right after?
6 months later.
6 months later.
I graduated in June. I enlisted in December.
And, of course, you chose the Navy. Why the Navy?
Because I didn't want to go to Vietnam.
Did any family members, were they in the military? Did they serve?
I had an uncle that served in the Army.
Okay. So where were you sent for basic?
Orlando, Florida. It's a great place to be in the wintertime.
Definitely is. I've had so many Natick veterans who started their basic in the Navy at Great Lakes in the dead of winter. So you really lucked out.
Yeah, it's not there anymore. They've shut it down.
Uh-huh. So what was basic like?
Scary at first. Mm-hmm. And the company commanders were just brutal. But as time goes on, you start to find yourself and realize the purpose of why you're there. And you start to focus on what's needed of you or demanded of you.
And how long was basic?
8 weeks.
And what happened after basic?
After basic, I had 2 weeks of leave. I came home and ended up in a car accident on Pond Street, where I broke my jaw in three places. Ended up in Navy Hospital in Chelsea for 4.5 weeks. When I was discharged from the hospital, Navy Station South Boston, I was supposed to be going to a technical school in San Diego, but when I got my orders in Boston instead of San Diego, they sent me to a ship down in Norfolk, Virginia, and we ended up going to Vietnam.
And what was the name of that ship?
That was USS Lawrence, guided missile destroyer.
And what were your duties on board the Lawrence?
I was part of the deck division, so it was mostly upkeep.
And you got to go to Vietnam.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
When we get to the ship, back in those days, when you got to a ship, the first thing you would ask is, hey guys, we're not going to Nam, are we? Everybody goes, oh no, we're not going to Nam. 3 weeks later, we left for an undisclosed location, and once we hit Panama, we figured out where we were going.
And how long was the Lawrence stationed in that area?
Total 7 months.
7 months, and where were the ports of call or ports of duty?
Basically, we were going over, we went through the canal, went to Hawaii, Midway, Guam, in and out of the Philippines a bunch of times. And at the end of the tour, we did do a week of rest and relaxation in Hong Kong. And when we were heading home, we spent a couple of days in Japan and then headed on back, Guam, Midway, Philippines, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. You gave me a newspaper clipping about an incident involving the Lawrence. Can you tell us a little more about that?
We happened to be in the right place at the right time. There was a South Vietnamese army unit that was being overrun and they needed shore power, actually shore batteries. And we happened to be there for gun support. And it ended up that we saved that unit from being overrun.
And according to the article, did you see the enemy?
We did not physically see the enemy because of the distance that our guns could shoot. The guns we had on the ship, if we were to fire a shot from here, we could hit a target in Boston.
And during that time you were serving on the Lawrence, did you receive any specialized training, a promotion?
No, not really. I didn't get promoted until after I left the ship.
So what was your rank at that time?
I was a seaman apprentice or an E2.
7 months on the Lawrence. And your where was the home port?
Norfolk, Virginia.
Back to Norfolk. So what happened after that?
Then I applied for school again, and I got orders to school in San Diego. Unfortunately, I was not successful at completing the school.
Oh, dear.
So I had put in a request to come back to the East Coast, and they sent me to an aircraft carrier on the West Coast. That's the way the Navy operates. We call that a dream sheet.
And what was the name of the aircraft carrier?
That was the USS Ranger.
And I believe you had a photo of that?
Yes. To kind of put it in a little bit of perspective, the size of the flight deck on that aircraft carrier is about the same length as Clarendon Street.
That's a pretty big flight deck.
And that's a smaller aircraft carrier compared to the ones today.
And what were your duties on board the Ranger?
Well, I started out in the deck division and then ended up going aviation.
And what was the duties involved in aviation?
Working on the flight deck, handling aircraft with various duties that were assigned.
Now, were your duties similar to that of a flight captain?
I didn't make it that far,
far
as my rank. However, we did do various things. I was in what they call crash and salvage, where our job was if an airplane came in and crashed, we were supposed to try to put the fire out and effect rescue if possible.
And were there any incidents?
We didn't have any actual fires when they came in, but we did have a few emergencies.
And how long were you on board the Ranger?
From August of 73 to December of 75.
Which is a pivotal point in the Vietnam War. It's starting to wind down.
Exactly.
So what were your thoughts at that time?
I just wanted to make it home. It was the second time I was over there. I wanted to make it home.
So what happened after the Ranger?
Well, I got my discharge and it came home. And East Hartford is a town very similar to Natick in size and so forth. And after working on a flight deck for a couple of years, you come home and you're bored because you don't have that adrenaline rush of what you're doing, because working on a flight deck of an aircraft carrier is considered the most dangerous job in the world. So I had been out and I was getting calls from this reserve recruiter. So finally I said, okay, I'll come down and talk to you. He said, come on down, I'll take you out to lunch. He took me to lunch at McDonald's, big budget. And I ended up joining the reserves just prior to the advancement cycle. Took my advancement test, I got advanced. And unfortunately, because I was aviation, there was nothing for aviation people to do in Hartford. But someone found a squadron in South Weymouth, Mass., and we ended up being able to join that squadron, and I spent 18 years there.
And what were your duties at that station?
I was an aircraft handler and doing a lot more than I did on a flight deck.
What kind of aircraft were you handling?
They're P-3 Orions. They're maritime patrol aircraft. They're also used as hurricane hunters.
Wow.
So I was responsible for 9 aircraft that were valued at approximately $37 million apiece.
And is there anything memorable from those 18 years that come to mind?
Getting advanced to Chief Petty Officer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
When I originally enlisted, I was, you know, like most people, four and out, I'm done. Didn't expect to make a career out of it, even though it was part-time. And once I got to a certain point, it's like, well, I had been in for 10 years, it's like, well, I'm in for 10, I might as well finish it and make 20. And I started getting advanced in the ranks and made the decision before I retired, I wanted to make chief, and I got advanced to Chief Petty Officer a year before I got out.
Okay, Arthur, I'm going to throw a date or two at you during your time in South Weymouth.
Sure.
February 1978, the blizzard.
Wasn't there.
You wasn't there?
No. They told us to stay home.
So anything besides digging out?
Pretty much, no. I lost my oldest son out in the front yard because he was a toddler and snow was very deep.
How about the early 90s, Persian Gulf War?
We went to Bermuda and we were supporting the John F. Kennedy. See, the reserves were good for me because it was the only way I got to see any part of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was in the Western Pacific. We would do active duty in the Azores Islands. Then toward the end, we were doing our active duty in Rota, Spain, which was beautiful. It was right on the beach. We did one stint down in Bermuda. Bermuda was quite the experience. Day after we got there, it started raining, and I had never seen cloud to ground lightning like that anywhere I'd ever been. It was like unreal.
So when did you leave the reserves?
1996, I had to retire. What ended up happening was they closed the base in Weymouth in 1995. Squadron got transferred to Brunswick, Maine. And a few years later, they decommissioned the squadron. So really, they had no place to put me.
So when you were not in the reserves, did you have a full-time job?
Yes, I did.
As?
Well, I was mostly doing warehouse work. Then I ended up, yeah, pretty much that was it, till after retirement.
And when did you retire?
My last job I retired was 2012. I was working for TSA. I did 10 years at TSA, and I had to retire due to medical reasons.
Which brings us to the next handout you gave me was when you actually had to undergo a double lung transplant.
Yes.
Due to Agent Orange. Can you tell us a little more about that?
I was diagnosed with idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, and what that means is that you have scar tissue in your lungs, forms fluid, and it makes it extremely difficult to breathe. So I had gotten to a point that I could not keep up with the physical requirements of my job at TSA, so I had to retire. A little over a year later, I was on oxygen 24/7. I could barely walk across the room without turning the oxygen all the way up. Got to a point I really couldn't breathe, so I spent 7 days in a hospital in Hartford. Got admitted to the emergency room at Brigham and Women's in Boston. 3 days after I was admitted, my lungs totally quit. I was put on a heart-lung machine for 30 days, and I was fortunate enough to receive a transplant. It has now been 11 years and I have severely beaten the odds that were against me.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Excuse me. So let's talk about some of the commendations that you received and your medals. I see a lot of ribbons on that chest.
The top one is a combat action. That's for mm-hmm. actually being in combat. And out of 123 awards, that's somewhere down around 13 from the top. And this is a Joint Meritorious Unit Commendation. We were working with the Coast Guard for drug interdiction. Mm-hmm. 1985, we helped them make a drug bust. At the time, it was valued at approximately $8.5 million, which equals out to $10.5 million today.
Where did the drug bust take place?
In the Caribbean.
Wow.
Then I have a Meritorious Unit Commendation, Good Conduct, Meritorious Service, National Defense, Vietnam Campaign, Sea Service, Reserve Sea Service, Coast Guard Special Operations, Armed Forces Reserve, Vietnam Campaign.
Quite the list. And after you left the reserves, or even after you left active service, did you join any military organizations?
I did a few years ago. I am a mm-hmm. life member of the VFW and DAV. And I am also a member of the Veterans Commission in East Hartford.
And what does the Veterans Commission do?
Various things in support of veterans and programs. As an example, we got involved in a veteran banner program, and we are paying for members of the board to have a banner made for them for their service, which will be, they're going to start putting them up in town on the week of the 19th, and they'll be up until Veterans Day.
Well, that's wonderful. I know quite a few communities up here do the same thing.
It's a first for us.
And of course, you're getting ready for things like Memorial Day.
Oh yes, we have the parade.
Mm-hmm. So Arthur, how important was it for you to serve in the military?
For me, it was very important because I felt I had a purpose. And the more I reflect, the more I feel strongly like that, about that.
Now, did any of your children consider a career in the military?
No, a lot of there's a lot of medical issues that would prohibit it.
Okay. Arthur, is there any person or place that really stands out during your career?
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. Tell us about Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong, there was an area of the city called Taylor's Row, which is exactly what it means. It was an entire street of tailors, and we would all go in. They would supply us with alcohol, which was free. And we would get clothes tailor-made. The only problem was, by the time we got back to the States, they were already out of fashion. But they fit good.
I'm sure they did. Did you keep the suit?
No.
Arthur, is there anything else you'd like to say?
I am a black belt in Shaolin Kenpo Karate. I mm-hmm. have two grandsons that are now following in my footsteps. Because of transplant, I'm able to pursue the art again.
And you're a black belt?
Yes.
Very impressive. How did you get interested in karate?
Believe it or not, it was an infomercial on TV from a car dealer in the area. So we decided for my youngest son to check it out, and da da da. And he got into it, and eventually I ended up getting into it with him. And he made it to second degree black belt. Because obviously I got sick and I had to stop, and about a year and a half ago I got back into it.
Okay. Now, you are married. How long have you been married?
50 years. We just celebrated 50.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
which means that she was a Navy wife.
Yes, she was.
And did she travel with you?
No.
She just basically stayed at East Hartford?
Yeah, with her parents.
With her parents.
We couldn't afford anything else at the time. Basically, when we got married, we had about $100 between the two of us. So, in fact, 3 days after we got married, I had to leave. I was home on 30 days leave.
Wow.
But I was supposed to be going back to my ship in California, and I got orders to a school in New Jersey, luckily. So I was at that school from December 1st till January 22nd, and I was home every weekend except for one, which made it nice.
Just kind of curious, what kind of school was it?
Aircraft handling school.
Okay, great.
And that's where they teach you everything. It was firefighting, plus all the other jobs you needed to do.
Okay. So would you like to say anything further before we wrap up this interview?
Well, I think that pretty much covers it.
Okay. Arthur Parker, we thank you so much for coming to Natick from East Hartford, Connecticut, and taking part in the Natick Veterans Oral History Project.
Thank you.